Good evening, ladies. Recovery fuel question. I'm stretching things out and doing the dedicated training plan. Okay, I stretched things out today. Passed go, did not collect $200 and went to week 4 and did 19 in 3 hours and 20 minutes, 140-ish for 14 miles, 160 by the end. Normal. As per your advice last week, I started going carb heavy on Tuesday. I was perfectly fueled, had great energy throughout, recovered pretty quickly. But now I'm on my couch 4 hours after the run, and I'm eating everything I can get my hands on. Blueberry protein shake, gum 4-up with straw in it. That leftover Sog Pioneer from Wednesday, yep, it's gone. That bag of Cheetos in the back of the closet, same fate. Next Saturday's run is just around the corner. Should I be thinking about a smarter recovery fuel plan? First of all, ladies, I want you to hear this. This is from a dude. I know that a lot of us feel odd when we walk in and want to eat everything in sight because we feel that way one time a month. And so when we feel that way after a workout, it can be really stress-inducing and really nerve-wracking because it's just another one of those lady things that people don't want to talk about. This hits dudes too. Hi, I'm Coach MK, founder of the Fitness Protection Program. I'm a run coach, not a life coach. We're never really talking about the running. Running is the tool. It's the conduit we use to examine the world we live in, as well as its impact on our own lives and the lives of the people around us. How we react to certain people and to certain stories tells us a lot about how we view ourselves. I'm committed to the thoughtful, intentional exploration of the importance of running so that no one discounts their own badassery, ever. Final note, this podcast is geared towards every runner who won't lose their home, livelihood, or health insurance if they show up to the corral with a hangover. Not that I'm encouraging you to do that, just saying. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the Fitness Protection Podcast. Thank you for being here. I apologize for being a day late, but we have now reached that stage, I think, of the quarantine and of 2020, where when I say to you that I needed Sunday night off unexpectedly to recover from Saturday night, that by now y'all know it's not because I was having fun on Saturday night. Wherever you are right now, whatever you're feeling, that is real. I hope you are supported, protected, as well as coached and loved. Here we go. Going to sum up my favorite time of the week. Normally, it's rare that I don't have the bandwidth to do this on a Sunday night, but I'm so sorry, you guys. I just did not. Normally, in a good week, almost all the time, this is, in fact, my favorite part of the week where I answer all of the questions tearing up the minds and hearts of my runners and my clients in the Fitness Protection Program. If you can hear my voice sounding a little scratchy right now, rest assured that is still in much better condition than it was yesterday after protesting in Louisville, Kentucky for the 2 days prior for Breonna Taylor. So thank you for your patience with me. Not going to make you wait any longer. Jumping right into the weekly wins. So in Rebuild, we've got Christian Frazier's daughter has had a successful appendectomy and is home safe from the hospital. Congratulations. We are all holding our breath on that one, and I'm glad she's doing well. Christine Lancaster did a virtual 5K with her kids. She might have overdone a little bit on the running, but she was able to honor her child's desired pace. And that is a big deal. I know I disappoint my kids a lot when we go running. They usually think I'm too slow. And then I want to keep going. And they think I'm really mean. Like, come on, kids. It takes a while to get there. Christine's son was proud of what he accomplished, so it was all totally worth it. Kim LaChance has had a lot of progress to be proud of. Yay! She's gone from being winded by walking upstairs 6 months ago to consistently doing all the runs in Rebuild. That's amazing. That truly is. Don't discount how good that feels and how important that can actually be. I have not completed all of my runs. I have a one-on-one coach, just so you know. And the reason I do this is because I cannot be objective about my own training. Meaning, if it was left to me, I would just do easy effort runs all the time. And I know that at this stage, I've been doing this so long that I need more than that, but I just wouldn't. I'm not going to work harder than I have to. And if I'm calling the shots, I don't have to work hard at all ever. It's one thing when I'm writing these programs for you guys. It's another thing entirely when it's like, yeah, I'll just jog. So part of the reason why I have a one-on-one coach, just in the interest of full disclosure, and it's very expensive, by the way. This is something I've been doing for a long time. We have a longstanding relationship. But even though I pay her almost 4 times what you guys pay for this, even still, I don't complete all the runs as written. I'm just more likely to do hard stuff because she asks me to and encourages me to, makes me really feel good about it. And if I didn't have that, I would just jog all the time. Jogging is the business. It's great. As a coach, though, my job is usually pull the reins on people and say, no, you don't need more than this. No, you don't have to go harder than this. No, you don't need to go faster than this. No, you don't really don't need anything more than what you're doing right now. You're already doing more than I do. You're good. You're good. Your coach, your love, you're winning at life. So I tell you that to tell you this. I can't remember the last time I completed an entire week of the training plan as written. There's no expectation that anyone would or should. It just doesn't work that way. Like, you take what you want, you get what you need, and you leave the rest. And that's not the same as leaving money on the table. Like, leaving money on the table, like, it is every month when you come back and you get a brand new training plan, which you guys are getting August up very soon. Then that, what you're paying for is a reset button. So it's not like a 16-week training plan with the race at the end. And now, oh my gosh, I'm 2 weeks behind. So that race is out the window and I spent all this money. Ah, there's none of that. It's like, okay, it's been a rough month. Great. You know, it's the 25th. I'm just going to take the next few days. I'm going to chill right out. I'm going to enjoy this vacation. And instead of feeling guilty of the fact that I haven't really run in July, I'm going to enjoy the fact I haven't run in July. I'm going to give myself 5 more days to do all the stuff that I haven't been doing, because I've not been running, but also haven't been having a whole lot of fun. I'm going to go have fun for a few days. And then come August 1st, I'm going to hit the reset button and recommit. And that's what you're paying for, that opportunity each month to jump right back in, as opposed to feeling like you need to leave the community because you fell off the train or off the rails or whatever euphemism you want to use if you've had more sleep than I have. Just saying, that's not how it works. And that's some of the mindset that I really want to break with the fitness protection program and with the coaching that I do. It's not about the runs you missed. You will never be defined by the runs you missed. You will never be defined by a finish time on race day. What you're defined by is participating in this community. Participation isn't about running either. It's about showing up. It's a promise that I will show up for you when you need me, that this community will be here for you when you need them. That's what it's all about. Please don't forget that in a month like this. July is terrible. It is hard. It is hot. Most people are only running if they are part of a marathon training program. So there are a whole lot of people that are struggling right now because there is no impetus to run. There's no kick in the pants to get out the door on a day that's hot, humid, and hard to breathe outside. And I know what hard to breathe feels like. It was a reminder after going to Louisville. I'm like, oh, wow. Walking out the door, you were just getting up and being like, the air is so wet. I feel like I'm swimming. I don't swim, y'all. It's just so hard. And it's really true. I don't know that I have all the answers about how to make that easy to do, because I couldn't do it. I was like, thank God I forgot to pack socks. Can't run. Oopsies. And that was that. So maybe I'll be more committed in August. I will be traveling less. I don't know what August is going to look like, but I know that I am absolutely counting down to hitting the reset button when it pops up on my calendar. So Phyllis is increasing the amount of time she can jog continuously. Even with the heat, she's up to 20 or 30 minutes continuously. That too, I know how good that feels. Just like some people like to check things off a checklist and they like seeing all the green boxes and they like putting, you know, stickers here and saying this is done. That's awesome. That's valid. I know if that is what's important to you, own it, acknowledge it. And yeah, that's a win when you have a week where you feel like, yeah, I nailed it. Great. That is fantastic. It's just what I'm here for is in those moments when you feel like, oh, I failed. I'm like, did you? Let's talk about what failure is. This looks like succeeding to me. I feel like a lot of my runners are way too hard on themselves. So I know what it feels like to finally get that thing, that validation in the form that you want it, as well as to be able to see an increase in what you're able to do and willing to do after a period of not running at all, which is what Rebuild is for. So congratulations to Kim, Phyllis, and everybody else who's had a weekly win in Rebuild this week. In Maintain, Daniel Failton did a 3-hour, 20-minute long run and covered 19 and a half miles. That is so long. Congratulations. I do not have the stamina right now to run for 2.5 hours, much less. So I don't think I ran for 2 hours, much less 3. I mean, I felt like a newborn baby colt. I walked over like in the Matrix when they all wake up and like swim out the goo. I'm like, my muscles have never been used and my lungs really hurt. I'm like this physical pain with each breath. And I haven't been like away for that long. I hadn't run for 3 weeks, 2 weeks of vacation and 1 week of an upper respiratory virus, but I mean, it's still like, feels like the first time every time I go out there. So I look forward to the day I can do another 3-hour and 20-minute long run and get out the house and away from everyone for 3 hours and 20 minutes. Oh, please God, when is that time coming? But I'm thrilled for you, Dan, that despite not having children, you were still able to have that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful time to yourself that you so clearly deserved. Not that I'm jealous. Extremely jealous. Totally jealous. I can't even hide how jealous I am. But yeah, good for you, Daniel. Trisha Thorne has been getting her runs in with her kiddos as part of a virtual cross-country family trip that her children's middle school coach put on. That is super cool. Tag us in photos. We want to see that and share that really cool experience. Way to go, Trisha. All right, here we go. And I'm moving on to the questions. We're going to start with the questions in the Build program. Build is an on-ramp for new runners or for people who are new to the way we do things here at Fitness Protection Program. We're going to be opening up another round of Build in the fall. And we're also going to be opening up another round of Slow Burns. So keep an eye on your email. If you're on our newsletter, if you get our newsletter, if you're on our email list, you will get a heads up when all this starts. The next round of Slow Burn was slated to open up on September the 8th, the Tuesday after Labor Day. We figure that most schools, by then, people will know for sure what they're doing with the rest of the year and be ready for something akin to structure, because they'll finally have something akin to structure in their household too. So that is who Build is for. Only got one question tonight. I'll be training for a half marathon next April and wondered if it'd be better to repeat Build or go into Maintain this September. What's the biggest difference in the two programs? Build and Rebuild are the same program, but they're separate communities. And the reason for that is that every time that I've been coming back from extended periods of not running, either because I had a baby or because just life happened, like it has for the past few months, I always found that it was hard to have a reentry point. There was no real good return to running sort of program that was predicated on a person having a modicum of experience and a bit of muscle memory. All of the return to running programs that I saw were either couched to 5K and threw you in with brand new runners and treated you like you didn't know anything and had never done this before. Or they assumed that you were incredibly fit, like elite, Olympic athlete level fitness, and you hadn't been running just for like a few weeks and were either. So there was nothing really good in the middle. Either they'd like treated you like you were brand new or treated you like you were superhuman, and there was just nothing in between. And so Rebuild really wanted to address and hopefully close that gap. So I tell you that to tell you this, Build and Rebuild are kind of the same thing. Once we get you into Maintain every month, you're basically ready to race a half marathon. You are. I wanted to keep it as simple as possible and take the focus off of race day and put it back on the training. So if I were you, let's see what September brings. Maintain is more work than Build or Rebuild. It is. Week one of Maintain isn't that much more than week four, lane two of Build or Rebuild. But week two is more. Week three is way more. And week four is like double. So we need an easing in period that's sort of working you up. You're not going to be able to go out of Rebuild and then do the entire first month of Maintain. You're just not. And I mean, kudos if you can, but don't go in there expecting to. Most people don't. Most people go into Maintain and do week one for 2 or 3 weeks and then do week two for 2 or 3 weeks, take a cutback week and do week one and then do an entire month of Maintain. And there are all the instructions how to do that in the membership area of the website. We break it all down for you. But I tell you that to be like, well, I think if you want to start working your way into Maintain in September, that's totally fine. But you don't need to be pressuring yourself to be doing all the runs as written, especially the long runs in September. January needs to be your aim. I need to be in Maintain doing most of the runs and all of the long runs no later than January. Realistically, February, realistic with January. I know that the holidays are hard, but that's kind of where we're at. You've got so much time is what I'm trying to say. There's no rush. There's no run. And there's no reason to be like, I must do this, and this now. This is a guided DIY program that gives you everything you need to be able to adjust the programs to meet you where you're at, with no need to play catch up and no push to try to compensate for what you might have missed along the way. You might not be ready for more work in September. I can't even look more than a couple days ahead of my calendar. I'm driving home on Saturday night thinking like, what a good weekend. Everything's really nice. I can't wait to see the kids and then work on Sunday night. And then boom, like out of nowhere, I get a notification that I had to quit driving. I'm like, we got to pull over, swap drivers. I'm like, I got work to do. I'm so sorry. And that threw my whole weekend into flux. that's how quickly things are happening right now. It's like a lot of whiplash. So I don't want you to set yourself up for feeling like a failure later with no regard to the fact that you have survived up to this point of the year, which is huge. This has been a really difficult year. The thing that I can't handle that breaks my heart the most is where people say, I'm going to do this. And if it, that thing that they say they're going to do doesn't work out, then they feel like a failure. You have the option to jump in face first to maintain on September the 1st. But the option to do so versus the mandate to do so, like the difference is discreet and the difference is pressure. And I really, really hope as long as you're here with me and you're staying in this program, that putting pressure on yourself never becomes a thing. It doesn't become a thing you do. I like to think of myself as someone who deprograms overachievers, or rather gets them to focus on what they've accomplished rather than ruminate on what they missed. So the best path to success is by giving yourself the option to do something without the mandate, without worrying too much about the plan, so that you don't feel like a failure. You feel like a badass for navigating whatever life throws at you, should it throw something really big at you for November, and you find yourself not as ready to do everything and maintain as you did when you signed up for the race. So you've got plenty of time. We don't really need to get serious and like worry about the length of your long runs for a while yet. So if you can, great, but let's not. There's like, life is just hard right now. There is no need to add artificial pressure to make it harder. Couple comments. So no light. Okay. Yeah. But are you somewhere where it's humid, Daniel? I think you are. Are you in South Carolina, North Carolina yet? Or are you still in New York City? Either way, in New York City, you're never alone at 5 a.m. I know this, so don't even try, mister. Yeah, the air is brutal. It is brutal. It's so hard. Oh, I don't even have words for it. It's just, as much as I love the South, if y'all saw the pictures and saw my pretty, pretty trucker hat and some of the amazing shirts, I've got this great shirt. I saw this advertisement and I had to pull over. I'm like, we've got to go in there. They have to have a merch store. And it said, boots, bullets, britches, and baloney. And I'm like, I am sold. It was a country store. So of course I had to buy all kinds of shirts that have that on the back, boots, bullets, britches, baloney. I had to get teddy bears for the kids. I spent a lot of money in there, y'all. I did my duty supporting small businesses. And it was fantastic. So that was the high point of being there breathing brutal air. But every time I put that shirt on, I remember how I stepped out of the car and almost collapsed because it was so hot. The sun hurt my skin and my lungs simultaneously. It was like getting punched in the face and the belly and the feelings all simultaneously. He's in North Carolina. Well done, Daniel. Have you two been able to meet up? That's funny. It would be funny if you had. Okay. Moving on to rebuild. So rebuild. Is there somewhere to find Silly Toes instructions? Yeah, they should be pinned to the announcements at the top. I had refilmed those and they're also in the YouTube channel. Erin Harkness is watching this right now and I'm pretty sure she's going to go dig out the links and post them after seeing this. So keep an eye there and in the comments here. And thank you for reminding me, we do need to work this back into the membership area of the website in the instructions. But yes, they are there. They're around. I re-recorded them recently. Good evening, ladies. Recovery fuel question. I'm stretching things out and doing the dedicated training plan. Okay, I stretched things out today. Pass go. Did not collect $200 and went to week 4 and did 19 in 3 hours and 20 minutes, 140-ish for 14 miles, 160 by the end. Normal. As per your advice last week, I started going carb heavy on Tuesday. I was perfectly fueled, had great energy throughout, recovered pretty quickly. But now I'm on my couch 4 hours after the run and I'm eating everything I can get my hands on. Blueberry protein shake, gum before I put the straw in it. That leftover Sog Pioneer from Wednesday, yep, it's gone. That bag of Cheetos in the back of the closet, same fate. Next Saturday's run is just around the corner. Should I be thinking about a smarter recovery fuel plan? First of all, ladies, I want you to hear this. This is from a dude. I know that a lot of us feel odd when we walk in and want to eat everything in sight because we feel that way one time a month. And so when we feel that way after a workout, it can be really stress-inducing and really nerve-wracking because it's just another one of those lady things that people don't want to talk about. This hits dudes too. Daniel, my biggest suggestion to you is a recovery drink because your body produces, being male, your body produces more testosterone than ours, and your needs are going to be a little bit greater in the carbohydrate and protein post-recovery department. Martin is really popular, M-A-A-U-R-T-E-N. It's a Danish company. They were the official fuel of the guy who broke the 2-hour barrier in the marathon. It's good stuff. I like it, but it doesn't really quell that level of hangry hungry, in my experience. but it is worth trying before your workout, especially on it, like having it created. And it's like the consistency, not quite a gel. It's a little bit thinner and less jelly than a gel, I guess. I don't want to say like, anyway, the words to describe the consistency are just disgusting to me, and I'm struggling not to say them. But it's less, it's more viscous than a gel, but less viscous than water, but per se. It goes down really easily. But Martin would be really, really great pre-workout carb and sugar mix. You would probably want something like Hammer. Hammer Laboratories is a really fantastic concoction that a lot of my male performance-oriented athletes like. Low in sugar, high in proteins and carbohydrates. So Martin is worth looking into before the run, and literally like before, and your body will absorb it really quickly. It's amazing. It just goes directly into your bloodstream. It doesn't require a lot of digestion. So that before the run, and then a heavier protein and carbohydrate based recovery fuel for after the run could absolutely help that. Even though the last thing you will want to do at the end of a long run like that is put anything like this in your stomach, because it's kind of sweet. That should go a long way towards quelling all the cravings. That's right. You know what? There are times, the only reason I remember Silly Toes is because this is my stuff and I made them up. And there are days when I'm in a hurry and I'm like, oh, I'm going to, yeah, just whatever. I don't need Silly Toes. I've been standing. It's the end of the day. And those are the days that I regretted about 10 steps in. And I'm like, let's warm up the ankles. What am I doing? So I feel you. Until it's a habit, it's not like a corner you're cutting. It's just like, oh, I need to do that. But it's just one more thing at a time when we feel like there are so many things already on our plate. Give yourself some grace. Tomorrow's another opportunity to remember to do it. Okay. So I'm struggling to keep my heart rate under 150 while running at a slower than usual pace these days. I think the reasons are multifactorial. I have not been running as consistently these last 4 weeks because life, same. And while I've been walking a lot and keeping up with strength, there isn't anything like running to keep up that kind of fitness. True. Also, it's hot and humid, which seems to make my heart rate climb as well. So the question is, where should I aim to keep my heart rate for the warm-up and cool-down portions of the running workouts? Wherever you can get it. And again, I say this lovingly. There are days like today when it was so hot and humid when I ran out the door. I looked down and my heart rate said 161. I slowed down as much as I could, and I was only able to really get my heart rate down to about 151. And some of that was from the fact that I haven't been running much these past few weeks, and my body's just like trying to regulate. A lot of it is just the sheer amount of stress I have been under. And I know everyone here is under varying amounts of stress. Some days are worse than others. When those days happen, just remember we need to ease into the run and ease out of the run. There's no rush to get warmed up, and there's no rush to cool down. As a matter of fact, anything you do trying to speed that process up is just going to stress your body out more. It's going to backfire. So I would worry less about like, where do I need to be, rather than where do I not need to be? We need to not be in the 160s for the warm up. We need to try to keep that under control as much as possible. If your heart rate is up and it's just so hot and humid that it's not coming down for the cool down, I get it, but do try to add in like a quarter mile, 5 to 6 minutes of walking at the end of the run then before you go inside, even if like, which I hate even saying that because I get it. Like once I've got sweat on my body, all I want to do is go inside and take a shower and get off. The idea of having to walk like a quarter of a mile to bring my heart rate down so that I stop sweating before I go inside is repugnant to me, but it is helpful. It does actually cool you down faster so that you're not still sweating and have a racing heart rate when you get out of the shower a few minutes later. So I tell you all that to tell you this. What matters is that you are attempting to ease into something and then ease out of that thing, as opposed to playing catch up somehow, which is mentally what a lot of people do when they go into a workout. That's it. So for the accelerators versus brief sprints, my heart rate tends to climb to 160 or so, and then takes a minute or two to get back low 150s or high 140s. Is this when I should be walking to get it back down faster? You can, unless walking makes it harder to get restarted again for you. I want you to kind of take that on a case-by-case basis. We have to balance the psychological and the physiological. If you hate what you're doing, you are not going to keep showing up. And if physiologically, one is not so superior to the other that it's going to impact your fitness or your performance. And I know that's an answer people don't love hearing, like it doesn't really matter. What matters is you're making the choice that you don't hate. Because odds are the difference between the two decision points you're looking at isn't as big as we want to make it out to be. I can tell you what like the optimal answer is. But that optimal answer physiologically doesn't mean anything if you hate it so much that now I can't do this thing, so I'm not going to show up anymore. And honestly, that type of all or nothing thinking is exactly what the sort of person who gravitates towards distance running engages them. They're perfectionists. I do it right or I don't do it. I go hard or I go home. And it's what we have been conditioned to do. It's what America does. And I know that sounds like really kind of like high level and woo-woo, but it's true. Someone who's lived outside the country for a really long time, it was hard coming back in and being like, ugh. It's why I still have to defend jogging. People are like, well, why you do that? Some of us care about performance. I'm like, I never said I didn't. I just said I don't want to work real hard every day. Well, that's lazy. I don't think it's lazy. I'm a marathon running mom of 4 kids under 8, no twins, and who owns a business and has a husband who travels. You can lazy shame me all day long if you want to. Me deciding not to go harder than I need to is called efficiency, mother. That's where my brain is at. But a lot of us don't have that ability or that willingness to bite back and say, no, this is what I want, and advocate for it. So if I can do one thing for you for $30 a month, it would be that, giving you the language you need to be able to fight back. Reclaim your time, reclaim your space, and just go get something done outside, whether you're running or walking. So too long, don't read. Does it matter? Not to me, but it might matter to you. If it matters to you, as long as you're honest about that, I don't want to walk. I hate walking. Great. Okay. Do that. You know what? I love walking and I've really been looking forward to it. Is it okay if I walk every time to bring my heart rate down throughout the summer? Totally fine with me. Whatever's going to keep you here and keep you consistent and meet you where you're at, that's what I want you to do every single day without fail. I'm never going to be disappointed in you if you do that, no matter what you do. I have a sore left knee. It's achy and will ease up once I'm warmed up. My shoes are in really good shape. I'm thinking it's surrounding muscles that need strengthening. I did fall on this knee about 5 years ago and had no real issue until now. The knee is generally achy. Each day doesn't seem better or worse based on runs, back to back versus rest day in between. It's achy all over with some pain concentrated at the front. Help, please, and thank you. Okay, the two things that come to mind really quickly. If you fell a long time ago, you might have like a meniscus tear in there somewhere. The meniscus are the little brake pads in your knee, and they sort of like hold everything together. And they are hard to diagnose. And it's not, if you had a fall, even if you didn't tear a tendon or a ligament to the point that you need surgery, you may have torn the meniscus, or years of overuse, pushing your body harder than it was ready to go. That can also do damage to the meniscus. So if that's where you are, and it sounds like it could be, it's worth seeing a physical therapist, a really good one, hopefully one that also has the DPT certification, is licensed for dry needling and manual therapy. That's like the great trifecta, physical therapists. So they shouldn't specifically, most want the one that I work with, Alex Landon out in Stapleton, he doesn't necessarily need to see an MRI or an X-ray to know what's going on with soft tissue. You can usually diagnose with manipulation and watching you do, you know, go through motions. So hopefully we can find someone like that can work for you too. Because once we know what it is, then we know exactly what to strengthen and how. And that's a little bit outside my scope. That really is what a physical therapist needs to do. So let's go ahead and get you in and see one of those as quickly as possible. Because what's more often than not, the things, we don't like therapy. We're a country that, again, that doesn't like therapy. We like medicine. When it's a bone that's broken, awesome. When it's soft tissue, there's just a lot that's a little bit more fluid. And since it's not as cut and dry, you know, a lot of people have a harder time going to see a physical therapist or getting a referral to go to a physical therapist. This sounds like soft tissue, tendons, joints, ligaments. I would say a doctor, this isn't what they do. Doctors are there to solve, like, you know, big problems, diagnose and treat illnesses, not soft tissue. Which is not denigration to doctors. It's like they also don't drive taxis. I mean, maybe they could. They're qualified to, but it's like these are two mutually exclusive, completely different jobs. So if you didn't get physical therapy whenever you had your fall a few years ago, it's entirely possible that could be what's going on. Is it functional? Yes, except I can't do this thing I want to do. Well, it's meniscus. Is it worth fixing? So if that resonates on any level, seems familiar, that's where I would start. I would start with a good PT, because no one really needs to be in pain. And it's probably not what you're doing or the way you're doing it. It could entirely be the improper treatment the first time something like this happened a while ago. But that doesn't mean that we can't do it now. Most people have meniscal tears. It's a thing. Whether it's in their shoulder, in their hips, with labrum in their hips, or in their knee somewhere. This should not be like a career-ending injury, if that is indeed what you have. It is something we can mitigate and work with, and the PT is the person to do it. That is That is it. There are some links here that I need to share. I probably meant to. Thank you for putting those in there, Aaron. From what we all everything we talked about last week with Velvet Bee's honey butter, and now I've seen that, I'm going to go have to get a spoon and get in it. This is short and sweet. Sorry that it was a little bit later than I expected, but I like that guy behind me. That's his desk. I forgot when I said initially, like, oh, I'll do it on Monday afternoon. I forgot that I share an office now with someone who is louder than I am, talks more than I do, and we'll have like 9 hours of phone calls every single day. So with that in mind, sorry that this was later. This is the first opportunity I had where the room was quiet enough that I could do this and capture sound quality that Chrissy could then edit and turn into a podcast. So I apologize for making you wait, but wherever you are, I hope you are safe and sound and know that you are also coached and loved and winning a life. If you happen to be in the Denver area, I just became a member of the leadership team for Wall of Moms. I have about 20 years of protesting experience and a lot. I probably gotten 20 years worth, honestly, in the past 60 days. I've not been this active in a very long time, but it's been fun to be part of that group. I'm going to be their operations person, making sure that everyone who wants to show up for Black Lives is trained and prepared before they physically show up to an event. I'm literally just finished writing a handbook about it, handbook for new protesters, if you're interested. If you are an activist outside of Denver who is thinking of joining a Wall of Moms chapter, feel free to fill out the Google form and download this document. And hopefully it could be helpful, even though it's full of local resources. It'll give you a roadmap and a blueprint of what to look for in your own area to have an idea of what the landscape looks like where you are and how you can be of use of service as well. So thank you for being here. Thank you for tuning in. And one last here, efficiency. That all of them, some people have all of them torn, no judgment if that's the case. Oh, thank you. No, I appreciate you, Aaron, more than you could possibly know. Everyone, big thank you to Aaron. And days that you know I'm out, if you see posts going up as fitness protection, that is her. Thank you, her, and as always, the rest of the team for their service so that, you know, I can, you know, keep serving my community as well as this population in all kinds of ways I never saw coming. July was crazy. I'm really hoping August is a little calmer. Doesn't look like it's going to be going that way. What I can promise is that I'll be showing up for you as often as I can, wherever I can in this capacity, to make sure that you feel coached and loved and to remind you that you're winning at life no matter what is going on or what you have done. Congratulations on surviving almost 60% of 2020, you guys. See you soon.